Welcome to Career Tools. This week, how to get negative feedback from your manager. Questions this cast answers are, how do I help my manager give me negative feedback? What should I say to get more negative feedback? And what should I do to get more negative feedback?
It surprises some to know that we have a presenter who lives in Canada, and that fact has never been more convenient. In less than 3 weeks, we'll be hosting, in Toronto, our Effective Manager and Effective Communicator conferences. Our small group of up to 12 attendees will be at the Hampton Inn by Hilton Toronto Airport Corporate Center near Pearson Airport in Etobicoke. Register today at manager-tools.com/training.
At least half the people listening to this, if not more, are wondering, why do I want negative feedback? I get plenty of negative feedback from my boss. He tells me what I'm doing wrong all the time, which is true. And there are plenty of it. There are lots of us who receive just plenty enough. Thank you very much. But there is a lot of people who either don't get negative feedback, so that their boss doesn't give them any, or they're like top performers. And so they really want to improve. They want to know how they're doing, how they can do better, but they're also already doing so well that nobody ever criticizes them or nobody ever says to them, hey, you ran that meeting way awesome and there's something else you could do to make it better. And it sounds idyllic never to have any negative feedback. So it's like, oh, wouldn't that be lovely? But without any negative feedback, you don't grow. You can't know what you can do better unless other people tell you what that thing is. Because there's only a certain amount of knowledge you have internally about what you do well, what you don't do well, and what else is out there for you to do. And so whilst a lifetime of no negative feedback would be idyllic in some senses, it would also keep you very stuck as you were at three.
Yes, absolutely.
So we're gonna, if you are in that position where you're not getting negative feedback or not getting enough negative feedback from your manager, this is the cast for you.
All right. So today's outline, we're gonna start by talking about how to show that you are open to or accepting of feedback from your manager. Then we'll talk about saying thank you. And don't worry if it doesn't work when you try. And also know that your manager is scared.
So the first three parts are action, and the last one is why this might be happening to you.
Exactly. Now, guys, know that in order to get the negative feedback you want, because, and we'll get to this at the end, your manager is hesitant, you'll need to show your manager through your behaviors in advance what will actually happen if they gave you the negative feedback you're seeking, in order to, or as a way of encouraging them to give you that feedback. So an easy way to do this in a kind of a roundabout way is to use feedback from your peer, right? So for example, when you're showing your manager some work, a report, what have you, that you've previously created or worked on, you could say something like, hey, so I asked Joe to go over this before I showed it to you, and he actually found some errors, which I corrected, and some suggestions that, you know, they made it even better. I really appreciated the feedback from him.
Yeah. Obviously, you actually have to have shown the work to Joe or whoever, and you have to have made some changes, but we're pretty sure that you can find some work to do and a Joe who would give you some feedback. Most people have at least one peer who's willing to tell it to them straight, or someone outside of work. So for instance, if you were writing a report, you could find someone who's really good at English and reads a lot, speaks well, and have them read your report and critique your English. So what you're saying to your boss is, not only did I do this work, I sought out feedback. And when I got it, I was welcoming of it. I understood it. I was willing to make changes. And I appreciated the fact that it happened. All of these positive reactions go some way to allaying your manager's fear that if they say something to you like, that's not right, or that needs changing, or it would be better if you changed that, that you're going to have some kind of negative reaction. So you use Joe's feedback as a way of showing your general reaction to negative feedback. And you want to do this multiple times, not all at once, right? Don't think, I've never had any negative feedback from my boss. I'm going to do this 5 times this week because they'll wonder what is going on. But like once a week for the next 4 weeks, because, you know, if your manager hears you do it once, they'll think, oh, well, you know, it was just that one piece time of work. Thing. Yeah. Or you were in a particularly good mood that day, or you and Joe are friends. So you might want to use various peers. And he's thinking, well, you know, it was just this one case where he was okay with getting that kind of feedback. So you want to do it multiple times so that they can turn that tape off in their head. Okay. It's not just a one-off. He seems to be really receptive. Gosh, I can't even say that. He seems to be really receptive to hearing negative feedback. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Now, guys, there is another way to do this, and it's to review your own work. So, for example, you could proactively review your last 90 days and ask your manager if you could sit down and show them in a one-on-one or a short meeting, if you don't have one-on-ones, you could introduce the topic of this, I'm going to call it mini self-review, for example, by saying, you know, I don't need very much time. I just like to show you my self-review. There's a few things I've noticed that I think I could potentially do better, and I'm really interested in your perspective, right? It's really important if you're going to host this meeting, that is if they agree, and you have done this 90-day self-review of yourself. You've put a good load of, I suppose I'll say, some critical comments of yourself, areas for improvement. But it's also important, keep in mind, that you put positive comments in your self-review as well.
Yeah, because if that meeting is you going to your boss and say, here's all the things I've done wrong in the last 90 days, I think a boss is just going to be uncomfortable with you berating yourself in front of them. And they're going to start to think that you don't have any self-understanding, because nobody does 90% of the things wrong. We all do 90% of things right and 10% of things wrong. But I was talking to someone the other day about something. She said, well, you've worked there 11 years, so you're clearly doing something right. I was like, well, yeah, I guess. Yeah, I'm still employed. So right? the same goes for you. If you're employed and nobody's talking about firing you, then 90% of what you do is right or good or useful. And therefore your self-review has to reflect that. Otherwise they'll just think you're screwy in the head.
Right. Well, and moreover, the purpose of us doing this is to get more negative feedback or areas for improvement from our manager. But if you go into your 90-day self-review and it appears to them that you're beating up on yourself, not only will they not give you the negative feedback you seek, they'll do the exact opposite. That is, they'll say even more positive things and more complimentary information to make you feel better.
Yeah, I'm like, my guy, he's having a rough week. Right? I need to say a bunch of nice things.
Exactly. And that goes against what you're looking for. So it doesn't make sense. No. It doesn't make sense.
So you want to use a ratio of 10 to 1, positive to negative, or 9 to 1, so that you end up at 10. And that will make the conversation mostly positive. So in a 10-minute conversation, 9 minutes are going to be positive and 1 minute is going to be negative. And when you get to the negative piece, don't forget to stay kind of upbeat and breezy about it. This reminds me of managers giving feedback, where we say that positive feedback and negative feedback should sound the same in tone, because they're both about changing the future. Like, it's if you are berating someone, you're trying to change something that happened in the past, and that makes no sense. So the negative feedback is about a positive future and therefore has the same positive tone that positive feedback does, because that's also about a positive future. And the same goes for you if you're giving yourself feedback, as goes for managers. Like, you want to show that, hey, I'm okay with knowing that there's some things I don't do well. I'm not getting upset about them. I'm not getting angry about them. I'm not like wound around the axle about them. I'm okay with saying 90% of what I did was great, 10% I could do better, and I'm okay with working on that in the next 3 months. Again, if you get upset or angry or, you know, have any negative emotions around that negative feedback, the message you're sending to your manager is, I get upset at negative feedback. And that's not the message we're trying to send.
Right. It's defeating the purpose. It's working against our purpose.
Oh, and 99 times out of 10, 100, those things are going to be minor things. If you look at, I mean, you could do this monthly or you could do it weekly. You probably don't want to look to report it to your boss suddenly weekly, but you could do it monthly. And what happens in a month is usually a bunch of minor stuff, right? That occasionally you close a project. Occasionally you make a big sale. Occasionally, you know, there's a big customer drama that you solve. But most of us do a little bit of work every day. And so the things that go wrong are usually little things. And so this conversation is about small things. It's about, you know, that piece of communication you could have worded better. Like one email you could have worded differently so that it didn't end up as a chain of confusion. That's not something worth getting upset about. It's not something that's going to be on your annual review, but it is something you can do better. And so you got to keep it in perspective.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You can also think of it this way. If it were really that big a deal, your manager probably would have called a meeting and it would have been about that person or about that purpose or that item that went horribly wrong. And you would have got your negative feedback. I assure you. All right. So yes, guys, by asking your manager's perspective on past events in this way, what you're really doing, you're talking about your positives, you're talking about your own areas of improvement, and all of that allows for your manager to attach their feedback to an already existing idea, right? Not make it a you versus them kind of thing. Rather, when you admit your faults or your areas of weakness or things that you could have done better, it's that much easier for a manager to agree, yeah, you're right. I think, yes, you could have done a better job communicating in that instance. It would have alleviated a lot of confusion, right? It's just that much less confrontational for you to point something out that could have gone better and allow your boss to agree with you than it is for them to bring up something entirely new that you haven't already admitted you're aware of it being a weakness or a misstep. Right. So this way, the negative feedback is really part of the review process. It's not its own specific instance separate about negative feedback. However, it is you eliciting those comments for improvement in a more conversational fashion. Mm-hmm.
And it's much easier, you know, your boss could even, if you said, I sent that email, it turned into a big mess of confusion. It didn't go well. I can see that I didn't do the right thing. What would you tell me to do differently? Or what advice do you have for me going forward? How could I have done that differently?
Absolutely.
And then it's not even negative feedback. It's a recommendation for improvement. It's taking all of the angst away from it, from the manager, especially if you have a high S or a high C manager who are more reserved and therefore, especially S's, they don't want to give you bad news. Nor do I's because they kind of don't want to bum you out. And so this way, it's not even negative. It's a, please give me some advice for next time.
Absolutely. Okay. Now, guys, this is a 90-day review, as we mentioned. So this 90-day feedback process is something that will happen every 3 months. We say about three times. That is, the first time when it's new, your boss or your manager, while you're having that conversation, because they've never really done this before, to be clear, they might not take in all that's happening, or said differently, they might not immediately jump into the conversation because they're not necessarily certain that you're hoping this becomes a two-way back and forth kind of conversation. And I wouldn't fault them for it. May think it's kind of a presentation.
Right.
On your part of sorts. So yeah, in that first one, the first 90-day review, they probably or potentially may not contribute very much at all.
And especially those styles who people who like to prepare. If you go into a meeting and say, here's what I prepared and this is what I want to talk about, those people who like to have time to think about it beforehand are very unlikely to say very much of substance at all. Whereas the next time when they see it on their calendar, they'll think, oh, okay, I know what's going to happen. I'll think of two or three things.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So we say, in terms of how often or how many times, we do it every 90 days, but we say, maybe do it 3 times. And then if you don't see a change, or alluding to what Wendy just said, if they don't take the bait or chime in, what you find is 3 times you've done this and 3 times it's gone exactly like a one-way presentation from you to them, there's no change, you probably don't need to keep doing it. Don't beat the dead horse. Right? You tried to cause or create a situation where they may contribute and give you some of that insight, some of that feedback. But to be perfectly honest, there are some managers you're never going to convince that you're all right receiving negative feedback from them, right? So there's no point in wasting your efforts, going through all of that work, that is meeting with them, delivering the presentation to them. Now, we would recommend that you continue to do the 90-day self-review process for yourself so you know. So you can spend time thinking about those areas for improvement, things that you could have done better, how to do better and differently next time. It's still a very useful exercise, but it's probably something that beyond 3 90-day meetings with your manager, you can keep to yourself.
Yeah. And that reminds me, it's not in the show notes, but it makes me think that your manager is not the only person that can give you feedback, whether that's positive or negative. Your colleagues can, your peers, other people that you meet with, a mentor, a coach. There's lots of people who are willing to give you negative feedback. So don't think that, my manager is the only person that can do this and they're not willing to. So now what am I going to do? Just find some other people who are willing.
Right. Absolutely.
It's Q4, and we know you're probably planning the first half of 2021 with some uncertainty about how the workplace and the workforce will function. We've heard from so many of our members who really want to go back to work and know that we maybe work from home for another 6 months. Honestly, the plans are totally scattered depending on jobs, productivity, industry. And while we have all of our client trainings available virtually, do know that Manager Tools is ready to come on site to your place of business with our Effective Manager, Effective Communicator, or Effective Hiring Manager trainings. We're ready to travel to you. And we've learned so much in the last 6 months about safety measures and protocols that we'll share. We're ready. Are you? For more details about scheduling, pricing, and protocols, contact Maggie at maggie@manager-tools.com or read the detail posted on the website. manager-tools.com/organizations.
Okay, so next one, say thank you.
Say thank you, right? Guys, when you get negative feedback from a reluctant manager, and to be honest, you probably still wouldn't be listening to the podcast at this point if you didn't have one, right? Mm-hmm. So when you finally get that negative feedback from a reluctant manager, just say thank you, be accepting, be appreciative of it. Now, guys, we're not therapists. We've said it many times, right? But one useful concept from therapy that is how we teach people, or is that we teach people how to treat us. That is, if your manager, who you know is hesitant, has finally gotten up the courage to give you a piece of negative feedback that you've been hoping and probably asking for from them, reward them with the gift of a thank you, right? Teach them that receiving negative feedback is the way you want to be treated, that you're open to it, that you're accepting of it.
And focus on the positive, you know, even if it was too small or it wasn't something you agreed with, you should be careful not to not agree with, there's too many nots in that sentence. Be careful if you get negative feedback and you don't agree with it, it's sometimes because you don't want to admit it or you don't want to think about it rather than it's actually bad guidance. But in general, you know, even if it was small, it wasn't on the thing that you were worried about, it's not terribly helpful. Just focus on the positive that person was willing to give you something to work on, however small, and make the change. Whatever they suggest, do the thing. Even if you don't think that thing is the thing that's going to fix things, do it anyway. Like, you've got to show that you're willing to hear it, you're willing to change, that you're willing to listen. It's funny, when we do customer service, and so many people write to us and say, in this situation, what should I do? And often we write back and say, do this, this, and this. And then they write later and say, no, yeah, I didn't do that. Like, well, if you're going to ask for advice, then you have to be willing to take the advice. Now, that's not so. I mean, you have two choices. It's entirely up to you. You can either take it or not take it. But you don't encourage someone to give you advice if you ask for advice and then don't take it.
Right, exactly. And then don't take it. Yeah, it's not in the spirit of what you're asking for.
Yeah, and it's not fair. Someone's, you know, gone out of their way to do something that you know is uncomfortable for them, because if it weren't, they would have been giving you negative feedback. And then not to take it on board, it's just not fair.
Exactly. All right, the next piece then, don't worry if it doesn't work. If you've gone and you've done all of these things, right, you've put in place your 90-day self-assessments, you've asked for more feedback, you find you're not getting it, and you don't know what more you can do, the one thing to do is just, guys, not worry about it. Now, frankly, your manager just might need more time. I oftentimes say this at conferences, but guys, all of the people out there are just a ball of past human experience. You know that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, chances are they've been burned before. You're not going to turn it around overnight, right? People don't just change when they've gotten a negative reaction to a behavior they've engaged in. So it might take more time for them to come around to the idea, or they might never come around. Frankly, your corporate culture might be stronger than your own individual personal desire for negative feedback. It might not happen. Don't worry about it.
And like I said, that doesn't mean you don't have any flaws. There are plenty of other sources of improving feedback in your organization, your peers, your customers, your friends in other departments, your manager's peers may be willing to give you feedback. Your manager's manager may be willing to give you feedback and share things that you could do better. And don't forget to observe what goes on around you too. Like, it's really easy to be in a meeting and concentrating on what's being said and what ideas you can contribute and where you can support a peer and taking notes and all of that stuff. There's a lot going on in a meeting, and there's a lot that a professional is doing in a meeting. But sometimes you're just at a meeting. Sometimes it's, you know, just one that you're going to attend for someone else and you don't have a whole bunch to contribute. Or sometimes, you know, we just have those meetings that we're invited. I'm just remembering, I had a boss when I was quite young, and I had a meeting on my calendar, and she said, why are you going to that meeting, Wendy? And I said, because they invited me. And she said, that's not a good reason to go to a meeting.
Solid point.
So, but sometimes you do end up at a meeting just because you were invited. And when you're at that meeting, take the opportunity to look at what's going on around you. Like, what behaviors are rewarded? What behaviors do people act positively towards?
Yes.
And what are punished, you know? So in some places, interrupting is a sin. Like, interrupting someone is a terrible thing to do. In other places, if you don't interrupt, you don't get a word in edgeways.
Right.
And sitting back and looking at a meeting and watching what happens when someone interrupts tells you whether or not you can do it. And if you're in one of those places where interrupting is a sin and you have the habit of interrupting, now you know that's your negative feedback. That's your opportunity for change. You know, who gets what and how? Who gets what they want and how? Who doesn't and why?
And why, exactly.
You know, it's really nice to be able to sit back at a meeting and kind of anthropologically look dissect at that, what's it. Going on.
Yeah.
And that will tell you a lot about the organization and about what things you can do better and differently.
Right. And guys, this is like a micro example, but in a larger sense, those behaviors and the successful behaviors or lack thereof in those individual meetings leads to who gets promoted in an organization, right? If you see somebody get promoted, that is an individual whom you should examine. What do they do? What don't they do? Right? How do those behaviors differ from your own personal behaviors? If you're looking to get promoted and someone who is a peer of yours or within the organization does get promoted, maybe look to that person as examples of behaviors you could take on yourself, right? What skills are prized or rewarded within your organization that you can improve upon, right? We all have those, or many organizations now have the rewards programs, right? Employee of the month, or I'll notice all the time on LinkedIn, people are being celebrated. What are those individuals doing that has caused or enabled them to get those promotions or those rewards or those praiseworthy comments? Because the world around you is full of feedback.
I worked for a guy whose name was Chris, and I was his executive admin or something, again, fairly early in my career. And he got promoted. I was there for like 5 months, and he got promoted 3 times in those Wow. 5 months. It was amazing. He was stratospheric. But the funny thing was, it was not long after we all kind of got mobile phones. And so he would constantly phone me and say, I'm on my way to this meeting, call them, tell them I'm going to be late, or I'm running late, I'm going to skip that meeting and go to the next one. He was back to back all the time. He was in sales, but he was never, ever on time, ever. It was just ridiculous. I spent my entire time phoning people and saying, I'm really sorry, Chris is on his way. And yeah, that behavior, it didn't matter to the organization. He was selling stuff and he was making sales despite the fact that he was late. And so you could be the person who strives to be on time all the time but doesn't make sales. If Chris is in your organization, learn from that.
Yeah.
Being on time apparently doesn't matter if you're making big sales. So you make the big sales. That's what's being rewarded in this organization. So as examples so that you can kind of imagine it.
Absolutely. All right, so then that takes us to the last piece of our guidance, which is less about you, more about your manager. It's just a knowledge tidbit. Know that your manager, they are scared. They're scared, right? Now, guys, if you're not a manager currently, when you become one, it won't take you very long to realize. And you're going to actually be really surprised at how difficult it is to give negative feedback to your directs. Not all managers are scared, obviously. But if your manager isn't giving you negative feedback, one obvious and very likely reason is that they are apprehensive about giving the feedback. And the solution to all of it then is to show them that you're really, truly open to it.
And people might not imagine this, but when we teach the Effective Manager Conference, or you teach it, mm-hmm. I sometimes stand in the room. But one of the things I notice is we get to feedback and managers find all of these reasons why negative feedback isn't accepted. Like it's not our organization culture to give people negative feedback, or what happens if this happens, and do I have to give it to everybody? They have this list of things that come up in every single group. There's a 20-minute kind of batch of time between the introduction, the presenter introducing negative feedback, and the audience actually practicing. And that 20 minutes is spent telling people it's okay to give people negative feedback. And none of those managers will probably say they're scared, but they do have a list of reasons why they don't want to do it. And that's because they have angst about it. They're worried that the negative feedback will go poorly, that the direct will, you know, blow up at them. They're worried that if they give it to one person, you know, if they give a top performer negative feedback, that person will stop performing. Or if they give a bottom performer positive feedback, that person will then think they're okay and then not do any work. You know, so many people are told now, oh, you must keep your team happy. Like that,
yes.
The team happiness is a big thing that we're measuring. And people worry, managers worry that negative feedback will make you unhappy and then you'll leave. Or you'll either give them a bad score on the employee survey or you'll leave. So they have good reasons for not giving you negative feedback.
So many good reasons. And I hear all of the time, because we do, as Wendy said, in our Effective Manager Conference practice. And managers are hesitant to give feedback on simple lateness. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they might have gotten a car accident.
They've got the list of excuses right. for the direct, before the direct just even told them.
I know. They're like, well, what if they got in a car accident? And I have quite literally said to the group, I'm like, if you are the manager of a team and your team members get so, they get in so many car accidents that you are planning whether or not to comment on their lateness because it might have been a car accident, you hired the wrong girl because you should have hired a driver trainer. I'm telling you right now, there cannot be that many car accidents. You can't plan your managerial life around a car accident, but managers do, right? There are all of these reasons.
You know, and if you said to the direct, hey, when you're late, I worry about you. And they say, yeah, I was in a car accident. Yeah, that's why I worry about you.
I was right.
You.
I was right to right? worry. I was right to worry. Yeah. No, totally. Yeah.
So next time, call me.
Right? There's so many reasons. So guys, at the end of the day, managers have, they've seen negative feedback go poorly, right? They have got examples of, just like you do, people who react negatively to being told even gently, professionally, and politely what they're doing wrong. And even if they haven't, they can certainly manage it or imagine it. So at the end of the day, managers value your skills, right? They don't want to make you feel like you're being beaten up if it's one tiny little small excuse, right?
Right.
We think of it that way, right? We think of it like it's a negative, like, well, they only did one small thing wrong. Yeah, but there are top performers out there who just want that little bit extra, right? The little bit better, the icing on the cake. And managers, they don't always realize that, so.
And just as an aside, because I was thinking about the whole happiness thing, if you're a manager and you're worried about keeping your team happy, just think of this. Do you keep your family happy? Are your family happy all the time? Is your spouse happy all the time? The answer is no. And if you can't keep your spouse and your family happy, there's no way you're going to keep your team happy. So don't concentrate on things that will make them happy. Then you get called what HR get called sometimes, which is cruise directors. My brother, his company have given him a 20% pay cut because of COVID, and they've been sending out to the employees these packages. So last week it was six half bottles of wine and some popcorn and some snacks. And then on Friday afternoon at like 6 o'clock or 4 o'clock, I don't know, like at the end of the day on a Friday, everybody gets on a Zoom call and they have this like happy hour of the wine tasting. And then the next week it was a movie. And so and my brother's wife said, you know what? I'd rather have the 20% money.
I'd rather have the money.
Yeah, exactly. So those kind of things are what people think, oh, the team will be happy. No, the team will do their job and they'll decide whether or not they're happy. And things like treats don't help.
Absolutely. Exactly.
So, and there's with all this pressure against negative feedback of people, managers being told things like ownership and value and goal alignment and communication and support and resources and fun. Those are all the things that make people happy in their job. Nobody ever mentions negative feedback makes people happy in their job. And so the poor manager's left thinking, oh, I have to provide all these things and negative feedback's not on the list. I'm not going to do it. And I've got all these reasons for not doing it. And it's no wonder that poor managers don't give more negative feedback.
Yeah, exactly. It's obvious. So guys, at the end of the day, know that some bosses are scared of giving feedback for all sorts of really good reasons and corporate pressures. And this is how managers are expected to behave. There are things that you can do. There are ways that you can encourage your boss to give you more negative feedback. But again, it takes time. It's taken their entire lives to make them this hesitant to deliver it. It will take you some time to unravel that. So go slow and be gentle and be patient. And when you finally do get it, be thankful.
Exactly. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, Andy.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with a different topic. Bye, everyone.